Chapter 1. A number of young students were arrested. Revocatos, and his fellow slave, Felicitas, Saturninos, and Secundulos. And along with them was Vivia Perpetua, a newly married woman of good family and upbringing. Her mother and father were still alive, and one of her two brothers was a student like herself. She was about 22 years old, and had an infant son at the breast. Now from this point on, the entire account of her testimony is her own, according to her own mind, and in the way that she wrote it down with her own hand.
While we were still with the prosecutors, my father, out of love for me, was endeavoring to persuade me to turn away and to cast me down from the faith. "Father," I said, "do you see this vase, for instance, lying here, or water pot, or whatever it may be?"
"Yes, I do,"
he said. And I told him, "could it be called by any other name than what it is?" And he said,
"No."
"So neither can I be called anything other than what I am, a Christian." Then at this word, my father was so furious that he threw himself at me as though he would pluck my eyes out. But he only distressed me and then departed. He was, in fact, vanquished, he and his slanderous arguments. Then for a few days afterwards, I gave thanks to the Lord that I was separated from my father, and I was refreshed by his absence. During these few days, I was immersed, and the Spirit directed me that after the water, I was to make no other petition save for bodily endurance. A few days later, we were taken into the prison, and I was terrified, for I had never before felt such darkness. Oh, terrible day! Because of the crowd, the heat was stifling. Then there was the rough handling by the soldiers. And to crown it all, I was unusually tortured by anxiety for my infant. Then Tertios and Pomponios, those blessed ministers who tried to take care of us, bribed the soldiers to have us moved to a better part of the prison to refresh ourselves for a few hours. Everyone then left that prison and attended to their own desires. My infant, enfeebled with hunger, was brought to me, and I nursed him. In my anxiety, I spoke to my mother, and I tried to comfort my brother, and I gave my son into their care. I was in pain because I saw them suffering out of pity for me. These were the trials which I had to endure for many days. Then I obtained permission for my infant to stay in the prison with me. And at once I recovered my health, relieved as I was of my worry and anxiety over my infant. And my prison suddenly became a palace, so that I wanted to be there rather than anywhere else. Then my brother said to me,
"My dear sister, you are already in a position of great dignity. Surely you might ask for a vision, that it might be made known to you whether you are to be condemned or freed."
And I confidently promised him that I would, for I knew that I was privileged to converse with the Lord whose great blessings I had come to experience. So I said, "Tomorrow I will tell you." Then I made my request, and this was the vision I had. I saw a bronze ladder of tremendous height, reaching all the way to the heaven. But it was so narrow that only one person could climb up at a time. And to the sides of the ladder were fastened all sorts of metal weapons. There were swords, lances, hooks, and daggers, so that if anyone tried to climb up carelessly or without paying attention, he would be mangled and his flesh would be caught on the metal weapons. And at the foot of the ladder itself reclined a dragon of extraordinary magnitude, which lay in wait for those who tried to climb up and deterred them from climbing up. Now Satyros was the first to climb up. For because he had been the builder of our strength, and because he had not been present when we were arrested, he had subsequently, of his own accord, delivered himself up for our sakes. And when he reached the top of the ladder, he looked back and said,
Perpetua, I am waiting for you. But be careful. Do not let the dragon bite you.
In the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, he will not harm me, I said. And slowly, as though he was fearful of me, the dragon stuck his head out from underneath the ladder. And using it as my first step, I trod on his head and climbed up. And I saw an immense orchard. And within it, a gray-haired man was sitting, dressed in shepherd's garb. He was tall and was milking sheep. And standing around him were many thousands dressed in white garments. And raising his head, he looked at me and said,
I am glad you have come, my child.
And he called me over to him and gave me, as it were, a small mouthful of the cheese which he had milked. And I received it in my cupped hands and consumed it. And all those who stood around said,
Amen!
And at the sound of their voice, I was awakened, with the taste of something sweet still in my mouth. And at once, I told this to my brother, and we realized that we would have to suffer, and that from now on, we would no longer have any hope in this age.